Congressman Bill Floor is in town this morning. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing great, Scott. Good to be with you on News Talk 1620.
I know you want to touch on the fact of why you are in town, because there's a memorial service today.
That's correct. We've got our two fallen firefighters, and we're going to be honoring their service today over at Central Baptist Church at 10 o'clock. I'm going to present two flags that flew over to the Capitol to the families in recognition of their sacrifice that their loved ones made.
Okay, let's turn to, of course, y'all are not in session right now. Let's turn to a couple of things. First of all, USA Today broke a story having to do with an immigration plan that was called, quote, the White House plan. Give me your thoughts on that. And my personal thought is it's not a White House plan. It was probably from the president's desk.
Well, it is a president's plan. It's interesting how some of the mainstream media will manipulate things to make it look like, to try to insulate Barack Obama. Here's the situation, is that we approach the 2014 elections, any deals that are done which make the country better off and solving our economic issues, solving our immigration issues, whatever the case may be, those are not in the president's best interest. They're in America's best interest, but not the president's, because he loses something to fight about. And so you had this gang of eight in the Senate. They put out a position paper on how to deal with immigration. If that were to be solved and come off the table before the 2014 elections, then the president loses a rock that he can throw at Republicans in the House. And so what he did is he put together an alternative plan that's going to be more difficult to get through Congress. And so that allows him to continue to throw rocks at Republicans in the House and saying that we're the obstructionists. And really, we're trying to work on this as hard as anybody else. And so it's a political move by the White House.
Laura, let's talk about, you know, sequester. Here y'all are, not House and Senate, not in session this week. The clock still ticks towards sequester. I guess it changes like whatever day the wind is blowing from what direction. But as of today, where are we with sequester? And obviously each side kind of staking out their political ground.
Well, we in the House have already passed two bills to change the sequester. First of all, nobody likes the sequester. It was put in sort of as the nuclear option so that the special committee would come up with other cuts. The special committee failed, and so now we're left with this approach, which is not a good approach. Now, remember, this was the president's idea that he put forth in the summer of 2011. Now he's trying to blame it on everybody else. And so his plan is, let's go raise some more taxes. Well, he's already got $1.8 trillion in tax increases coming from the fiscal cliff deal and from the taxes on Obamacare that are starting right now. And he wants to go get some more. That's not going to work. But let's make sure we frame the size of this issue. If you put it in kitchen table terms, our income as a family, and we call it America, is about the same as it was in 2007, and which is our peak income year. Our spending, on the other hand, has gone up by 30%. So what the sequester does to the American family, if you will, is to cut 2.3%, or about 7% of that total increase in spending. I apologize for background noise.
That's all right.
Granddaughter is here.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with grandkids.
Yeah. I love grandkids. In any event, so you're cutting 2.3%, and the president's trying to say, you know, our family is going to have severe consequences from that because we've cut a small piece of the explosion in spending growth the country's gone through in the last 6 years. And I think most American families would find that to be ludicrous.
Bill Floor is joining us this morning. Yesterday, the president's comments, he said, Republicans in Congress face a simple choice. Are they willing to compromise to protect vital investments in education and health care and national security and all the jobs that depend on them? Or are they rather putting hundreds of thousands of jobs in our entire economy at risk just to protect these special interest tax loopholes? Your reaction?
Well, again, the president's playing politics. The sequester is the president's idea, and it involves spending cuts only. I mean, if he wanted to have tax increases as part of the sequester, he should have brought that up back in the summer of 2011. So it's very disingenuous for the president to put this position out. But again, it's with this administration, it's all politics. How do you beat the snot out of Republicans so that he could put Nancy Pelosi back in power as the Speaker of the House in January of 2015? And that's what it's all about. And I think most Americans see through that. If you look at the real numbers behind the sequester, like we talked about a minute ago, you can see he's just playing politics. I mean, he's the one that's not compromising. He's the one that's changed what he wants to do. He wants to go after tax increases. And, of course, he always finds the targets, you know, corporate aircraft or oil and gas companies or the rich or all these other people that he considers to be bad now.
One of the things that that I think people are really concerned about is an everyday expense, and so I'm going to ask you to switch hats and go back to your oil and gas world, and that is, you know, we've had gas prices go up, 45 cents in the last month. That's a pretty stunning number, and that truly impacts people right now.
It really does. Now, a lot of this is coming out of Washington. Some of it's market forces. Some of it's a result of accidents. We've got a refinery in California that's offline because of a fire. There are some refineries in the Northeast that are not fully back up following the Sandy storm. You've got some factories that are having to change from a winter blend to a summer blend, which whenever you go through that transition, you lose production out of these refineries. A lot of it could be fixed, though, if you get the EPA slow down on this continuing changing of the rules, if you will, from where they were a few years ago. And you could also change it if you could, you know, approve the Keystone Pipeline and get more feedstock into the Gulf Coast refineries so that we could produce more gasoline.
Sure. Well,
more cheaply.
That's down the road. But, you know, I was seeing last week we're in one of these situations right now where spot market oil is less expensive than futures, which is kind of like your Coca-Cola being cheaper at the 7-Eleven than it is at Sam's.
Right.
So how often does that happen, and why are we in a position where a spot market, where you went out and bought it today, it'd be less than down the road?
Well, the futures market reflects the impacts of other things. It reflects what people think the supply-demand situation is going to be for crude in a few months or a few years. It also reflects any political instability that may exist, particularly in the Middle East or Venezuela. And so the futures market looks at an oil market that's different than where we are today, which is reflected in the spot price. And so, these situations occur from time to time, and we're in one of those situations at this point.
Is it a fairly rare occurrence, or does it happen more than we notice?
Oh, it happens more than we notice. I mean, the futures curves go into what is called either contango or regression, based on which way the prices are pointed. And right now, we're in a strong contango market.
Yeah. Well, again, people are probably going to change their driving habits, or at least we hope they will.
Yes, sir. I believe they will. Anytime gasoline prices go over $3.80 and approach $4, which is where I think we'll be in a month, you're going to see driving habits change. But, you know, the good news is, I mean, from a political perspective, is it always seems to light the discussions about how to better solve our energy issues in Washington. So my hope is we get some good out of it at the end of the day, even though it's tough on us right now.
Yeah, they do start paying attention. Now, when are you back in session?
We go back into session next Monday. And actually, technically, we are in session right now. We're in pro forma session.
Right.
We open the House up every 3 days to keep the president from making recess appointments.
Okay, anything we need to look for before we talk again next Wednesday?
Well, I think you're going to continue to see the posturing from the president over sequestration and immigration. I just urge our listeners to find the facts before they adopt what he says, hook, line, and sinker.